Good morning. It's wonderful to see so many of you here to hear about the proposed policy statement process. And sorry for being late, I had a conflict with another meeting. I'm sure Betty has covered a lot of the key steps in the proposed policy statement process. I'm going to really talk about proposed policy statements based on my perspective as the current chair of the Science Board and a member for several years, as well as a member of the Action Board before I went to the Science Board, and also as an author of a couple of policies in the past. So you're going to hear a lot of different things from me, but what the purpose is to drill down. You heard about the overarching policy steps, but now we're going to get into the meat of what we're looking for. Okay, I'm trying to advance the slide. Okay, now as a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention employee, I'm showing this disclaimer to remind you that the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and our sister agency, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. The CDC director is the administrator for the ATSDR. At CDC, I am in the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity, where I've been for 7 years. Prior to that, I was in the immunization program for 20 years and learned a lot of really good public health science, surveillance, outbreak investigations, and research methods. Nearly every research method I was involved in, and was really thankful for that experience and in a real applied world. So when you think of CDC, you think of science for action. So that's the kind of science that I've been involved in. But before that time, I was at Johns Hopkins in an academic setting and thought like an academician. So I wear a lot of different hats at a lot of different times. I also have the standard APHA slide about disclosures. As a federal employee, I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So the purpose of my presentation is to really drill down a bit and discuss key parts and characteristics of a good or successful APHA proposed policy statement. Betty went through some of this in talking about basic characteristics of proposed policies. We want to make sure that they're useful, that they're comprehensive, timely, and well-written. When we say useful, there's no current APHA proposed statement on the issue, and that you're trying to update an existing proposed statement or a policy statement that's already been approved. Now, when we talk about comprehensive, as Betty said, we want you to develop something to address a specific public health problem that is comprehensive, like smoking prevention and control. We have a lot of specific policies that don't take into the big public health picture of how can we really prevent and control smoking. All right? And I was going to give an example about smoking, but I'll give you an example a little later. And we want them to be timely, and that's why there is an archiving process, because we have such a rich membership in terms of knowledge around science, policy, and practice, that we want to have the most up-to-date policies. Now, who do these policies go to, or who uses these policies? We know that Don Hoppert and his staff do a great job in advocating using these policies. The members use the policies of APHA and throughout APHA, the units, the affiliates, policymakers, and Don can talk about that, and I'm sure he will talk about that, that there are policymakers at the local, state, and federal levels that call APHA up and ask, well, what is your policy on this issue? Then public health professionals throughout the United States and throughout the globe look at our policies. Federal, state, tribal, local, and territorial public health agencies. We have a number of public health partners. And you know, our theme of our meeting is health in all policies. So we're trying to expand our partnership so more people will be looking at these policies. Academicians, other public health organizations, our partners in medical professional organizations. A number of them are here at the meeting. They're going to be in our science board session. We're going to hear from them on how they're integrating primary care and public health. So they want to know what our policies are as well. And community-based organizations, we have a lot of community partners in APHA, and then they have community-based partners. So a lot of people have use for these policies. And then there's other advocates for health, like the people who work with women, well, it used to be the Women and Children's Program, SNAP, and nutrition programs. They feel that they are also advocating for health as well. So we have a lot of partners that look at our policy. Well, the good news is that we have wonderful guidelines on how to prepare proposed policies. Has anybody seen these guidelines before? Oh, you passed them out? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yay, okay. And they're quite detailed. Had you seen these policies before they were passed out? How many? Any hands? One person. Okay, two. Wonderful. All right. So read those guidelines carefully and follow them carefully. These are the required parts of a proposed policy statement. The title, the author identification, sponsorship, collaborating units. What I have observed is that the strongest policies have a lot of collaborating units and endorsements from other units within APHA. We're now asking for a nice summary so that your policy, if it's approved by the Governing Council, is then sent out sort of like a news release, press release, that these are the policies that were approved by APHA. And that summary is so important in characterizing what is in your policy. And generally, the summary should have the problem statement and the recommendations that come out of your proposed policy. Again, the relationship to existing policies, it's very important that you outline all the policies that APHA already has that is related to your proposed policy statement. And then there's a section on rationale for consideration. And in that section, you then describe why we need this policy now for APHA. The highlighted areas in orange, I'm going to talk a bit more about, because those are the areas that are often incomplete or there's some errors that we're concerned about. So the problem statement, evidence-based strategies, opposing arguments, action steps, and references we'll talk about in shortly in a little bit more detail. And then the alternative strategies section is optional. All right, so let's look at a problem statement. As Betty said, we want these problem statements to be clear, concise, and objective or balanced. Because you can imagine, I mean, Don goes down to Capitol Hill and he is there with his wonderful fact sheets that have come from these proposed policy statements, and then one of the staffers says, well, I heard this about this particular public health problem. And you want to make sure that Don is armed with the latest and the best available information about that public health problem. So we want them to be balanced and objective. And you want to focus on the public health problem, and you want to state that clearly. What is the public health problem? What are we talking about in population health? we want you to really talk about the health and economic burden to society. And when I talk about the health burden, I'm talking about health outcomes. What is going on in the population in terms of health outcomes, if you can describe it? Or if it's not known, then you need to say that. So when we talk about health outcomes, we're talking about mortality, death, we're talking about disease, injuries, conditions, risk factors, risk behaviors, disability, okay? So we're talking about all the different health outcomes and risk behaviors. When we talk about the economic burden, we're talking about how much does it cost society, all right? Then we want to know, is this the same across the United States, or are there any populations that are disproportionately impacted by this public health problem? And we want you to also describe the size and the magnitude of that public health problem in populations. We talk about the best available scientific evidence that documents the problem with references. And again, we want you to use plain language and avoid jargon, because, you know, remember that previous slide with all those folks that might be using the policy? We want it to be clear. And then we want you to discuss any ethical, equitable, economic, and political issues when appropriate. Now, this is an example of a proposed policy statement that came through the process last year and that was approved by the Governing Council. And this is an, so I want you to take a look at it. We can read it together. All right, so I'll give you a few minutes to read it if you've not seen this one. Okay, so we get the idea of the kinds of detail that we're looking for as it relates to the public health problem. Okay, so the next big section is evidence-based strategies. So we really want you to discuss what are effective interventions or strategies that actually reduce the public health problem. What can be done about it? And has that been found to be effective? Or cost savings or cost beneficial or cost effectiveness, right? So those are the kinds of things we want to know. We want to know whether the interventions or strategies are effective or cost beneficial or cost effective and or, okay? Want to document the effectiveness and efficiency, again, with the best available scientific evidence. Let's take a look at an example, again, of a proposed policy statement that was approved by the Governing Council last year. Let's read it together. You see how well that they cited the interventions and the strategies? Okay, so let's go on to the next major area in a proposed policy statement, and that's the opposing arguments. We'd like you to describe the alternative viewpoints. If there are any alternative viewpoints, it would be helpful to know what they are, the nature and extent of that viewpoint, if there's any information around that viewpoint about who holds that view, it would be helpful. Then to discuss opposing evidence and the validity and reliability, or how accurate is that side of the evidence. There's a question in the back?
Yeah. So when you talk about opposing evidence and validity and reliability, if the opposing evidence in quotes is not evidence-based, science evidence-based, should you be discussing that in opposing evidence?
I think it's helpful to have some statements about the alternative viewpoints and whatever evidence is there, and cite where you found that information, even though it may not be valid or reliable. And you need to state that it's not accurate because, you know, there's nothing available in terms of its validity or reliability. So the more statements that you have, short, succinct statements, that lets us know that you've looked for any opposing evidence of an alternative viewpoint, is helpful to the reviewer. Right. What you just said would be nice if you had a statement that said it's only in websites or whatever. And then you can give us an example, you know, of a website. You could cite a website that would let us know. Okay? And then here again, you regarding the alternative viewpoint, you wanted to discuss any ethical, equitable, and legal issues, if appropriate. And then refute the opposing arguments. That's a critical piece of the proposed policy statement. And this is an example, again, of another proposed policy statement that was approved last year. So let's take a little time to read this one as well. Okay. I just have one other section because I wanted to check in with Jennifer about the time. How are we doing with time?
I think for one other section we're good, and then Don check.
Okay, so we're going to have some time for like one question?
Yes, we'll
okay. All right. So this is the next major section in a proposed policy statement. So you presented the problem, you discussed the evidence-based strategies or interventions, and any alternative viewpoints. Now you're at a point where what do we do about it, given the information, the science, the knowledge? Here you describe action steps, and we like those in bulleted form, and they should be clear, concise, externally directed, as Betty said. Who, what, and which, I mean, whoever, what are we asking others to do? Not specific legislation, that they're evidence-based, but it's very important that they're feasible, ethical, equitable, and culturally and linguistically appropriate, and that no action should be listed in this section for which supporting evidence has not been presented in the strategy statement or the problem statement. Okay, so it has to be. In this situation, you have to think linearly, okay? So you have to tie the action steps back. I'm reflecting on the public hearing yesterday when three great students got up and they shared their proposed policy statement. But the first step was state and local public health agencies. They should do all these things. And we all know that state and local public health agencies' budgets are shrinking. And so that step wasn't feasible. So what I asked them to do is to begin to work with their local affiliate so that they, you know, can work out feasible and effective, ethical, equitable action steps that are culturally and linguistically appropriate. All right. This is an example here. And you can see that it's directed here to one department of the federal government. Well, all three of them are a good example. I'll give you a minute. Do I have a minute to let them read it? Jennifer said I can't. Okay. Okay. So then the next section are the references that document the information, the knowledge, the science. Okay? And there are some specifics about that we like them peer-reviewed. We like these references to follow the American Medical Association style, the style that's used in the American Journal of Public Health. In this case, we are not using the American Psychological Association style, okay? We get a lot of that, but we want you to reformat it before you send it in. And not to use any automatic numbering like EndNote. And you number the proposed policies with the references sequentially. So you start off with 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth throughout the document. And this is an example. The numbers are not here, but this is how it looks. So it looks different from the APA style. The AMA style is different. Okay. So the Science Board 2 years ago came up with this assessment, really on the scientific evidence. And we meet first to review these proposed policy statements. So we look at the statement and then decide based on the problem statement, the evidence-based interventions and strategies, the alternative viewpoints or opposing argument section, and the action steps, and determine whether the evidence presented, the scientific evidence, is strong, sufficient, or insufficient. And if it's insufficient, does it require minimal additional evidence or a lot of additional evidence? And that's it. I know we went over a lot, but the point here is that nearly every section has a policy committee now. And there are people across the organization that can help you. So there are resources and people who are willing to help you, and you too can create an APHA proposed policy statement to address creating the healthiest nation in a generation. Thank you.